When was the last time you heard a good sermon on fasting? My guess is by the time we're done here this morning, you'll still be saying the same thing. It's been a long time since I've heard a good sermon on fasting. But that's what we're talking about. Last night we went out to dinner with Kevin and Maureen, and I said, well, eat well now, because tomorrow the message is on fasting. So here we are. And fasting is an important power tool that I would like to talk to you about, and it's one of the most misunderstood of all the power tools. And if, in case you haven't got it yet, power tools that we're talking about are different disciplines of the Christian life that you can use to get stronger and grow in faith. Okay? We've talked about power tools of things like prayer. We've talked about power tools of different kinds, different things that we can do in order to grow spiritually. And how many of you, when you think of fasting, think of, I want to do some of that, because I know it's going to cause me to grow spiritually? Well, we've talked about giving. We've talked about praying. We need to talk about fasting, because fasting is an important discipline in the life of a believer, anybody that wants to grow. Now, let me ask you this question. When you think of fasting, okay, what do you think of? Do you think of people with sunken in faces, like real skinny, the ribs are showing, their faces are all sunken in? When you think of fasting, how many think of Gandhi? Mahatma Gandhi. Remember that? He's kind of a gaunt-looking, suffering figure. Do you think that if you fast, you're going to become like Gandhi? I can only hope, right? What is fasting? Now we're going to talk about that. Simply put, fasting is the voluntary abstinence from something for spiritual purposes. Okay? The voluntary abstinence from something for spiritual purposes. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have actually done a prayer and fasting thing? We got a problem. You know what that is? We're all supposed to be doing it. When Jesus talked about fasting, he didn't say, if you should ever get around to fasting, do it this way. No. When he talked about it, it was when you fast, do it this way. It was something that was expected of the disciples back in Jesus' time, and by extension, it's expected of God's disciples even today. It's important to note that when we fast, it's being done for a spiritual purpose. Okay? I said spiritual purpose. It's not just missing lunch because you're too busy. I've tried that. I tried it once and didn't get away with it. You know, my wife and I had agreed to do some fasting for a purpose. And so I came to the office. I did some things during the day and came back home. As I do, I stick my head in the door where her office is when it's my lunchtime. And I say, hi, how you doing? And she says, are you fasting today? Well, I had forgotten about it. I'd forgotten that we're supposed to be fasting. And I said, oh, you know, I forgot. And I didn't eat breakfast. I guess I'll make today my fasting day. And she said, I didn't get away with it. I'll tell you right now that when it comes to my wife, I don't get away with much. And that's another one of those situations. A fast is something that can last anywhere from a meal to 40 days. Did you know it's possible for people to live 40 days without food? I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you could live by 60. There are different kinds of fasts. The most typical is to go without food. Some people will fast for food, but they'll still drink fluid. Okay? There are people that will abstain from things, like if you've got a special love for chocolate, they'll abstain from chocolate or something like that. Maybe you don't like chocolate. There are limited fasts where people will allow themselves something, but they'll deny themselves something else. Okay? If you fast the way they did back in Bible times, you fast from sun up to sundown. In other words, you can have something small to eat in the morning. You can have something to eat after sunset at night. But if you fasted from sun up to sundown, it was considered one day of fasting. Many people, when they do fasts and things like that, wait until Lent. How many of you celebrate Lent? Okay. What is Lent? Well, it's a period of 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter when you're supposed to abstain from certain things. And you do it as kind of a spiritual discipline, supposedly. Some people will fast from food. I suggest perhaps it would be the idea for us to fast sometimes from media. What am I talking about? You might find it easy to fast from a cup of coffee in the course of the day, but try fasting from this for a day. Try fasting from a PlayStation for an entire 24-hour period. What is fasting? Once again, it's abstaining from something for spiritual purposes. Now, if you were to fast from this for a day, how spiritual do you think you'd be? It might be the most difficult thing you do. Is fasting Christian? Well, the simple answer to that is yes. It is a Christian spiritual discipline. In case you're wondering if people in the Bible ever did it, well, yeah, they did. Here's a list of some names of people the Scripture says fasted for a reason. Okay? Moses. Any of you ever hear him? Well, maybe you've heard of him. David fasted. Elijah fasted. Queen Esther fasted. Daniel fasted. Anna fasted. Paul fasted. Jesus fasted. How many of you know that after he was baptized, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and fasted for 40 days in the wilderness? That's the desert, folks. The wilderness was not a buffet in downtown Jerusalem. It was the wilderness. It was the desert, and he went and he fasted there. When Jesus taught on fasting, he didn't say, if you fast, do it this way. He said, when you fast, do it this way. So the call here this morning is to do it. When I asked how many of you have ever fasted, 3 people raised their hand. I would like to think that some of you will take this as a challenge and try it for yourself. You're going to find that fasting is good. Yes, I do. I fast. My wife fasts. A lot of people that I know do. But why should I? Why should I do it? Why fast? Well, fasting, folks, can increase your hunger for God. How many of you would say, that's okay, I'm hungry enough? I'm hungry enough for God, I don't need any more of Him. John Piper, one of my favorite Christian theologians of the day, wrote a book, and it was entitled, This Much, O God, I Want You. And from this article he wrote, or this tome he wrote called This Much, O God, I Want You, on page 23, he says this: if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world that your soul has become stuffed with small things, and there's no room the great things. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. I invite you to turn from the dulling effects of food and the dangers of idolatry, and to say with the same simple fast, this much, O God, I want you. So the question that we have to come away with this morning is, how much hunger do I have for more of God? How much hunger do I have for more of Jesus? That can be a very convicting question. And as I was writing this message, I became very convicted over this. Because, well, if there's anybody who can find excuses for, well, I'm going to do my devotions later. I've got stuff to do this morning. I can do my devotions later. It's me. I can do that. And I do it very easily. And there have been times that God has said, no, you got to do them right now. And he has challenged me over my hunger level for him. And he has challenged me and said, how much hunger do you have for me? I want you to be a little bit more hungry than you are. But I have a problem. I love food. I love cookies especially. I'm glad I don't live in Don Mack's household. Because I love cookies and he loves to bake cookies. It can be a very, very constructive friendship. I can see that. But fasting reminds me that I must love God more. It reminds me of the fact that there are certain things in my life I really can get away without. It reminds me of the fact that I should not be mastered by my physical appetites. I should be mastered by God. The first and main purpose of fasting, folks, is to draw near to God. What happens if you draw near to God? If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. How many of you find that to be comforting? How many of you find that to make you a little bit nervous? If God gets a little bit nearer to me, does that mean that I'm going to see things in my life that aren't especially holy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Fasting, folks, can increase our hunger for God. Another thing that fasting can do is it can train our passions and make us hungry for God, but it can also train our passions. The problem with us Americans is we are so used to having everything that we want immediately available. Okay? We want things, and we want things now. That's why we invented the microwave. Right? How many of you have a microwave in your house? How many of you have a household without a microwave? You don't have a microwave? God bless you. You know what I do with my microwave? I don't care what I'm putting in the microwave. It could be, you know, warmed up pasta from the night before. I'll put it in for what I think is the time necessary to make it nice and hot. I mean, I like my food hot enough to take the skin off the roof of my mouth. I like it nice and hot. But I'll sit there and I'll watch that microwave and I'll shut it off with 2 or 3 seconds left. Okay, I'm getting some of these. You guys do the same thing, don't you? Yeah, okay, I'm going to put this baked potato in there for 7 minutes to cook this baked potato, and at 6 minutes and 59 seconds, we're shutting it off because that 1 second is too much. I feel like having a donut, so we run up to Dunkin' Donuts, we can get donuts just like that. Problem is that our stomachs are more like spoiled children than they are organs in our body. I was talking to somebody about fasting a couple weeks ago, and you know what they said? I don't think I can do that because I'm not myself when I'm hungry. Just like the Snickers commercial. You've seen that commercial, yes? You're not yourself when you're hungry. My favorite one is the Willem Dafoe one. You know what I'm talking about? He's dressed up like Marilyn Monroe. I'm not even going to go into it. I'm not myself when I'm hungry. Have a Snickers bar. Let me ask you something. If you're not yourself when you're hungry, then when are you yourself? If you get crabby when you're hungry, is that not being yourself? Or is that your hunger revealing who you are? Ouch. That didn't feel good to say. You know why? Because my fingers are pointing right back at myself. See, the problem is, if we get ugly when we are hungry, the problem isn't our stomach, it's our heart. And if we have sin in our heart, and that becomes exposed when we are hungry, that doesn't mean that we need to take a Snickers bar. It means we need to go to God and confess it and say, oh God, this whole thing just revealed something in me I don't like. Take for example, folks, the way gold is refined or silver is refined or any of those precious metals are refined. How do they refine them? They'll take a big piece of ore, they'll put it in this big ceramic pot, and they turn the heat up underneath it until the ore melts and the impurities, the rock and the stone that's in the ore close to the surface where it can be skimmed away. That's what fasting does. It's like you are a piece of ore. You have been put in the crucible, and God turns up the heat until the impurities are exposed. Fasting can do that. Through fasting, God does that. He turns up the heat in our life until the impurities are exposed, and then He can scrape them off. And at the end of the process, what are you? You're more pure. Fasting is voluntarily turning up the heat in our life. And I think that fasting is probably the most dangerous of the power tools that I can offer you in this series. Why dangerous? Because there is no other power tool that I'm aware of that can reveal the things that control us as well as fasting does. You and I are very good at covering things up. We're very good at coming to church on Sundays and trying to impress people with how nice we look and how happy we are and how great everything is going. You know, we polish our shoes, we comb our hair, we clean the spinach off our teeth, and we come to church and we smile and people say, "How are you?" And we say, "Oh, good and you?" It's a rehearsed thing. "Good and you?" Rolls off the tongue real easy. When you're fasting, folks, all that facade gets pushed away. And the real you comes out. If you have a problem with pride, fasting can reveal it immediately. David said, "I humbled myself with fasting," Psalm 69:10. Fasting humbles us because it reveals our character flaws and it reveals the things that control us. Okay? Angerness and bitterness and jealousy and arguing and strife and fears, all these things can be exposed through the fasting process. If they are within us, they will surface in that time that we are abstaining from something. You know how many times I've had people say to me, "I'm sorry if I'm being crabby, I'm just hungry. I didn't eat this today, or I didn't have my cup of coffee today, so I'm not quite myself." What if I was to suggest to you that that's really yourself, and you just covered it up with the breakfast and the coffee? Okay, am I meddling yet? If I haven't offended you yet, hold on. I'm working on it. We can rejoice in the fact that fasting will show what's wrong with us. We can rejoice in it because if God didn't want that to be surfaced, it wouldn't be surfaced. And when God surfaces these things, He does it because He loves you and He wants to purify you and He wants to give you a better life. How many of you could say, "I could use me some of that"? God wants us to be like pure gold. Fasting turns up the heat. And we can fast and do it ourselves, or we can wait till God turns up the heat, and He'll do it at a time that isn't so convenient. Fasting, folks, point number two, can be earnest prayer. I can tell you right now that there are times that Larissa and I have fasted over things. And most often when we fast over things, it's because we have an earnest desire for God to answer some prayer. Okay? We'll fast and we'll say, "God, please, please do this," or "please help this." And we fast over it. One of the things I want you to understand about this, though, is when we fast, we're not engaging in some kind of spiritual hunger strike designed to force God to do something. Kind of like a child who holds their breath. Now, how many of you have kids who have ever pulled this one? "You don't give me what I want, I'm going to hold my breath." Is she looking? You ever have a kid do that? Have your kids ever done that? Have they ever done that?
You got to go to them. You know what the best thing to do is when that happens? You let them hold their breath. Because if they pass out, their autonomic system kicks in and they start breathing just like that. So don't let that happen. Fasting is not holy God breath holding. You're not going to force God to do something by holding your breath. You're not going to force God to do something by saying, God, I'm going to be on a hunger strike until you do what I want. It doesn't work that way. The Israelites tried that once. Back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, they tried that. And after they had fasted for a period of time, God didn't do anything. And so they went to God and they complained and said, oh God, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? We have humbled ourselves and you have not even noticed. They went on a spiritual hunger strike to force God to do something for them. God's answer to them is chilling. He said, oh, I noticed. I see how you pray. I've seen how you fast. But then I've also seen you allowing the widows to starve and the children go without food. So don't expect me to do anything until you do it right. Fasting can bring a note of urgency to our prayers, while at the same time we understand that our hunger strike isn't going to force God. Fasting can bring a note of urgency. In other words, we're coming to God and saying, God, I feel so strongly about this. I need to see your hand moving so badly. I'm willing to abstain from food. I'm willing to abstain from this thing until I see you move. Arthur Wallace wrote, fasting is calculated to bring a note of urgency and importunity into our praying and to give force to our pleading in the court of heaven. The one who prays with fasting is giving heaven notice that they are truly earnest. Did you get that? Why do you fast and pray? Because you're showing God that you are truly earnest in your desire to see his hand move. I knew a woman some years ago named Grace who prayed for the salvation of her husband for 52 years. 52 years she prayed for her husband's salvation. And she prayed and she fasted and she prayed and she fasted. In 52 years of marriage, he hadn't come to Christ. Until a tragedy occurred in his life, he had a heart attack. And he realized that he needed what his wife Grace had, and he came to Jesus, folks. And I don't believe that would have happened without her prayer and her fasting and her example in his life. When we fast with a specific request in mind, our fast can be like a wordless prayer. God, I need this so badly. I need you to work in this area so badly that I'm willing to abstain from this. What are we saying? This is how badly I need to see you move, oh God. I need to see you move so badly, I'm willing to deny my body's appetite for this thing. Fasting is a humbling experience. We like to think that we're all that, you know what I mean? We're all that in a bag of chips. If our garage is full of toys, fancy cars, we've got filet mignon in the fridge, and our 401k is nice and fat, and it must be that we've got everything just so. But the thing is that when we're fasting, all these things that we take pride in are stripped away in the eyes of God. And we're recognizing the fact that we are no better than all the other people who have needs. The ability to move and think fast, the ability to be productive, the ability to be physically strong, all these things are impaired when you're fasting. If you are fasting from food, okay, you get up in the morning, you deny yourself your breakfast, you deny yourself your lunch, you deny yourself your dinner. Folks, sooner or later, your stomach's going to start to rebel. Maybe your head starts to go a little bit wacky. If I don't eat, you know, my head starts going, you know, a little bit wacky.
Sometimes you feel a little dizziness. Sometimes you feel hunger pangs. Sometimes you feel like, you know, your body needs that sugar rush. And I'll tell you right now, there isn't anybody that enjoys that as much as I do. I get up in the morning and I have a mug of espresso that's 20 ounces deep. That's espresso, 20 ounces. And I can ride that high all day long. I'm not kidding you. What if I was to say, oh God, I love you so much that I'm going to forgo that because I need to see you move. Our ability to move and think, to be productive, our physical strength, all of that is reduced when we're fasting. You can't think quite as quickly. You can't move quite as quickly. Fasting really should be called slowing. Lord, I'm going to slow myself down here so that I can focus on you. It's a humiliating thing. It can be an act of humility. Just like kneeling before God when we pray. Did you know back in Bible times when people would pray before God, they didn't sit in an easy chair and turn on the air conditioner and cross their arms with their drink by their side. They would fall flat on their face and lay prostrate before God and beg Him to move. Fasting is laying ourselves prostrate before God and saying, God, I will not stop until you move. One of the most wicked people ever in the Bible was a man named Ahab. How many of you remember Ahab? How many of you remember Ahab because you've read Moby Dick? Call me Ishmael. We're not talking about Captain Ahab. We're talking about evil King Ahab. And Elijah looked him square in the eye one day and said, you are such a bad guy and your wife is such a bad woman. It's not going to dew or rain even a drop these next few years until I say so. And it did not dew and it did not rain for 3.5 years. 1 Kings 21 says, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite and said, have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring disaster this day. Even King Ahab, as evil as he was, found mercy with God because he fasted and he prayed. It can be a sign, folks, of real repentance. A couple weeks ago, we talked about repentance. Remember that? And what repentance is. It's not turning from sin. Repentance is turning to God. That's what we talked about. In our modern context, the term repentance is something that's not very well accepted. You know why? Because repentance sounds ugly. And everybody knows that real love means never having to say what? You're sorry. Is that true? How come I'm saying I'm sorry all the time? Repentance, ladies and gents, is not easy. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. Sometimes we would like our confession and repentance to be as short as possible. One of the things we're really good at is if we need to repent or we need to apologize about something, we will say, oh, I am so sorry if I did this. What does it do for you when somebody comes and apologizes to you and says, oh, I am sorry if I did this? Does that sound real nice to you? Does that make you say, oh, thank you so much. I forgive you. I've heard people tell me this. You know, I'm really sorry, but you did this, and this. And that's why I did this. What kind of an apology is that? Is that an apology? No, it's a sermon and a lecture designed to make you feel bad for making them sin. Give me a break. If we confess our sins and fast in repentance, it takes all of that away. Because fasting takes time. God, I'm so sorry for this sin. I'm going to take this day and I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face for an entire day, and I'm not going to have this thing that you know I like to show you that I'm earnest. heightens our discomfort. It heightens our sense of guilt. It might, however, cause us to take more seriously our decision to turn from sin and turn to God. How should we do it? How should we fast? Well, very quickly, and this is going to be quick. How should we fast? Number one, if you're going to fast and you want to engage in this spiritual discipline, which I guarantee you will be a blessing to you if you try it, the number one thing you have to do is start small. You have to start small. You're not going to do very well in fasting if you decide you're going to be Gandhi and fast for 40 days. You know what will happen if you decide to fast for 40 days? You're going to become so overwhelmed with the fact that you've got 39 and a half days left, you're going to blow it. I can't do this. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Start by fasting for one meal, or maybe two meals. Still sound tough? Start by fasting from one thing. What's that one thing that you love to do so much? How many of you say, I know I could fast from coffee for one day? I have a headache later on. I become really, really crabby, and I can do it. How many of you could fast from, say, your morning bagel? I could, because I don't even like bagels, right? I don't even like bagels. Okay, well, fast from something that you really like. Okay? Start with something that you know that you're going to miss. Like shopping. Oh, you were okay as long as I was talking about food, but as soon as I hit you right there, that's all of a sudden where people start going, oh, no, not shopping. How many of you say it's easy for me to abstain from shopping because I'm broke? That's not going to work. It has to be abstaining from something that you would enjoy doing and could do. Determine, folks, why you're fasting. You need to start small and determine why you're doing it. Why am I fasting? Am I fasting just to seek God? Because I want more of Him? Am I fasting because I need Him to do something? Am I fasting to seek direction? Or am I fasting because I need God to help somebody else? And so I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to fast for them. Is the fast going to be an absolute fast? Or is it going to be a partial fast? Now, some of you I know are thinking right now, you know, you're talking to somebody else because I have sugar issues. And if I don't eat, I'm going to have problems. Well, it would be very unwise for people with sugar issues to try to fast from food and drink for an entire day, because your blood sugar is going to go where? Boom, boom, ping pong game. Bing, bang, bang, boom. And who knows what's going to happen. So what should you do? Fast from something while maintaining your health. You get it? You may want to fast from something, but make sure you maintain your blood sugar the way you're supposed to. In other words, fast but be responsible. Very important. Maybe we should try a media fast. I'm going to fast from television for an entire day. Or I'm going to fast from instantaneous communication for an entire day. I'm going to love the Lord so much tomorrow that I'm not even going to go on Facebook once. Could you do that? Oh, I could do that because I don't have a computer. That doesn't work then. You don't get to do it that way. Do it some other way. The second thing we need to do, yeah, number one, start small. Number two, plan it out. When I say plan it out, I mean set a specific time. And it would be best for you, you know, if you're an executive somewhere and you've got a special presentation you do some morning, don't plan your fast the day you got to do the presentation. You know why? Because you're going to get up there and you're going to get all weird. So don't do that. Make sure that you plan it out. Don't call attention to it. You hear what I just said? You don't call attention to it. Even Jesus said it. When you fast, don't be like the knucklehead Pharisees that put on a sad face and show off. That, of course, is the Van Horn paraphrase. Instead, what? Go into your closet, prayer closet, and pray and seek God. Do it in private.
Remember this. If your fasting leaves you irritable with family members or co-workers, that's not going to honor God. The idea in fasting is to honor Him. So you need to start small. You need to plan it out. And number three, you need to avoid the pitfalls that come with fasting. We need to avoid the pitfalls, like pride. Matthew chapter 6. Please turn there in your Bible. Matthew 6, 16. Y'all got it? Jesus is speaking and he says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay? The Pharisees made it a matter of pride and they wanted to impress people with their holiness. So they'd fast and they'd look sorrowful and they'd look sad and people would say, my goodness, look how holy they are. Because they look so miserable. Is that how you gauge somebody's holiness? By how miserable they look? You know, the crabbier you look, the more spiritual you are. Well, that's not the point of fasting. Don't let it become a matter of pride. The other pitfall is the coercion aspect. Remember, we're not twisting God's arm. When we fast, we're not twisting God's arm. I'm going to hold my breath until you give me what I want. You can't twist God's arm. You know why? His arm's too strong for you. You can't twist his arm. Your object in fasting is to grow closer to him. Thirdly, the pitfall of penance. There is a heretical belief out there in some forms of Christianity that if you punish yourself, okay, that God will forgive you for your sins if you punish yourself. God's forgiveness of sin, folks, comes without us punishing ourselves. How many of you made the mistake of watching the Da Vinci Code? Remember that priest in the beginning of the movie? He takes that spiked belt and he wraps it around his leg until he bleeds, and he takes a whip and he whips himself with it until he bleeds. That's supposed to be showing God how much penance you have by making yourself pained and bleeding. No amount of blood that we will ever shed, folks, will satisfy God's demand for one sin in our life. All the blood necessary for that forgiveness has already been shed. So don't try the fasting for penance thing. It will not impress God. We should not deprive ourselves of stuff as a way to punish ourselves. God does not want you punishing yourself for sin. You know why? You understand why? Because the one who was sufficient already took the punishment for your sins. And if we believe that we can punish ourselves more, what are we saying? God, you're sending your son Jesus was not enough. I have to pay for it with my own suffering. Doesn't work. Next is the pitfall of dieting. It's real easy and it's tempting to see fasting as a great weight loss program. I need to drop a few pounds, so I'm going to fast. Although you can shed weight during fasting, it's not the first goal. The goal of fasting is spiritual, not physical. So start small. Okay? Fast from something. I think probably the thing that would probably pain my wife the most would be fasting from cilantro. Start small. Yes, she does love cilantro. She'd probably put it on ice cream. But then again,
fasting, you probably shouldn't be eating ice cream. Start small. Plan it out. Okay? Make a definite time and purpose for it. And seek the Lord. Folks, this is a spiritual power tool that may reveal some things in you that make you uncomfortable with yourself. If so, guess what? Bingo. You just hit the nail on the head. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us these means. You've given us these small disciplines and things that we can do. Dear God, we pray that as we pray and as we fast, that you would hear our prayers and that you might use these prayers to make real change. Lord, our desire would be to see your hand at work in our homes and in our families. But Father, lest we point the finger, our desire would be to see you move in our own life, that you would remove those things in our lives that are ungodly, perhaps sinful attitudes, perhaps sinful anger, perhaps sinful language. Lord, use these things. Use these fasts and these prayers, Lord, to cleanse us and purify us and make us more like your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.